Welcome to Social Media Know-How, the podcast featuring the greatest minds and brands in the world of social and digital marketing. And now, your host, founder and CEO of Link Humans, Jorgen Sundberg.
Hey son, Svason, how's it going? Many thanks for tuning into Social Media Know-How, the Link Humans podcast. Guess what? I am your host. Yeah, that's right. My name is Jorgen Sundberg, and this is the podcast where we slice and we dice social media in all shapes and sizes. I am coming to you from Link Humans Global headquarters in a summer rainy London. Summer rainy, is that a word? I don't know. Two words, in fact. One of those rather humid days, but still quite nice. It's the third week of June 2016. And yes, big news in the world of social media today. One of the big three, or the big four, maybe big five nowadays. LinkedIn just announced that they are being acquired by Microsoft. Yeah, the home of Clippy and the home of professional networking are now joining forces. That's what the press release said anyway, so that's a nice PR speak for being acquired. It's interesting that only last year LinkedIn was the buyer of Lynda.com for a cool $1 billion. But since then, the share price has dropped, and I think this was probably a good move for LinkedIn and its shareholders, who haven't had it easy for the last 6 months, 6 to 12 months. And recently, well, today, they've enjoyed their stock ticking up by up to 50%. So that's good news. And judging by past acquisitions made by Microsoft, I'm not so sure about what the strategy will be. But if you look at Skype, that didn't really amount to much. Yammer basically barely gets mentioned anymore. Everyone uses Slack. And of course, what happened to the Nokia smartphones? Nobody knows. Well, not much. So I guess Microsoft's plan will be to integrate everything into their professional suite of products and so on. We'll see how that works out, but I wish the guys at LinkedIn all the best with this new partnership. Right, so I'm very excited about today's show. I'm going to be joined by Paul Lewis of Pitney Bowes, and we're going to talk all about social selling. But first, in case you missed it, we have moved office, and our office warming do is on Thursday, the 16th of June from 6 p.m. So come and join us then. We're in Camden Town at work.life. That's at 13 Hawley Crescent. So do get in touch somehow and just RSVP. Just ping me an email, jorgen@linkhumans.com, or tweet us, or however you want to get in touch. Just let us know that you're coming, just so we know numbers and so on. But hope to see you on Thursday the 16th from 6 p.m. That's 2016, just in case you're not listening to this year. Now it is time for our tip of the week. Hello there. Are you tired of your old and dull slide decks? Want to go visual but not sure where to start? I've got just a solution for you. Try Haiku Deck. Yep, Haiku Deck is a tool that I've been using for about a year now. And I'm actually right now putting some slides together for a webinar tomorrow morning, and I'll just reconfirm how useful it is. So Haiku Deck creates beautiful slides with imagery pulled in from a number of different sites. So instead of doing your regular Steve Jobs white slides with text, go visual and slap on a nice big image pulled in from Flickr, and then put text on top of it. Basically, there are lots of different themes and different fonts and placements for your copy on the slides. And I find that when I use Haiku Deck, I rely more on the imagery and try to minimize any text on slides, which I believe is a good practice. So basically, you can pull in Creative Commons images from Flickr, which Haiku Deck then automatically gives credit. Or you can pull them in from your Facebook, Instagram, and other places. You can upload them as well, of course. Just make sure that you have the right to use the images that go into your decks. So once you've created your deck in Haiku Deck, you can either keep it on there and show it, or you can download it as a PowerPoint file or as a PDF. I tend to download to Apple Keynote and then do a few further tweaks from there. But don't stop there. You can also upload to SlideShare and show off your new shiny slides and get some of that engagement rolling in. So check this out at haikudeck.com. There's also an app I call Haiku Deck, one word I think. And there is a free plan, but a paid one is only $5 to $10 per month. Definitely worth it. With that, it's time to roll this week's interview all about that red hot topic of social selling. Paul Lewis, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you, Jorgen.
Great. Could you tell us about Pitney Bowes and what you do there?
Sure. So Pitney Bowes is a global technology company. We offer a wide portfolio of products and solutions, all which enable commerce in the areas around customer information management, location intelligence, customer engagement, shipping, mailing, and global e-commerce.
And what's your role in the organization?
So I've been with the company now for coming up for 3.5 years. And I've kind of got a dual role whereby I oversee global social media activities for the software solutions part of our business. But in addition to that, I also lead the global social selling program.
Great, which leads me nicely on to my next question. How did you guys implement social selling within the organization? Can you talk us through the steps?
Sure. This started out basically as a pilot program, and there were a couple of factors that kind of let's say kicked off this this initiative. Firstly, it was a case of those folks that were working in a sales or a business development capacity were finding it incredibly difficult to generate, new leads and new opportunities via what I would class as being, sort of your traditional methods, i.e. cold calling. Whilst obviously the marketing activities that that we were running, which take in, various different channels, were working well, we needed to become, a little bit more, let's say, savvy anyway, and start to kind of think, dare I say it, outside the box and become just a little bit more more innovative. And I think what kind of kicked it off was, when was it, back in, I think, 2013 or 2014, 2013, at a sales kickoff event that that we were running in the US, and we had a panel discussion, and we had a customer of ours who was invited to be part of the panel, and he at one stage during this discussion stated that he started and ended his day on LinkedIn, and that kind of sort of kicked off the alarm bell, so to speak.
Right, yeah.
Because, you kind of think, well, hold on a minute, we've got a senior exec here from a big organization who's just stated that, he's spending time in the morning and at the end of the business day on LinkedIn. How many other people like him, are doing the same thing? And so that was where we really started to begin to explore what we now know as social selling.
And when you rolled out this program, did you have strategy, training, analytics, and what does it look like?
So as I mentioned, we started this off as a pilot program. So working with a small number of individuals, I think it was about 5 or 6, that were based in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
And what it was basically, first of all, educating them as to the role that social media can play when it comes to sales enablement.
Yeah.
And the whole concept here was about building a sales pipeline and accelerating the sales process. And I'd worked with LinkedIn in previous organizations. So, I had a good understanding about this. And it was a case of me then, you know, kind of conveying that over to the individuals that were going to be part of the program, the pilot program. There were, you know, a number of individuals that were kind of, how can I put it, dismissed the idea.
Old school people.
Old school that you know, that didn't quite believe that that social media was a new part of the sales enablement process. You know, they kind of just thought it was a case of posting out pretty pictures of kittens and dogs and what have you. So it was a case of, okay, you know, the individuals then that are skeptical, you know, these skeptics, let's forget about them. Okay. They'll follow. Okay. Let's focus on, you know, those individuals that are, you know, very up for this, and quite happy to bring it on board. So coming back to your question, it was a case of, you know, we selected the five or six individuals. I began working with them. I started to introduce them to LinkedIn. We started to look at their LinkedIn profiles. And the first thing was to optimize their profiles. So build their profiles out, position themselves as the subject matter experts, build the credibility, align their profiles to Pitney Bowes and the various, let's say, lines of business that those salespeople might work within, and you know, really kind of have their presence on the platform as polished as we possibly can before we then go ahead and undertake any sort of outreach kind of activity. From there on, it was then a case of we brought on board some Sales Navigator licenses. We trained up these five or six individuals on how to go ahead and use the licenses and all the features and the functions that the licenses have to offer. And I would work with them and effectively hold their hand throughout the process. It was incredibly successful. The five or six individuals that were on this pilot program really started to see that it was just opening doors for them quite early on. I think we recorded the first, piece of business or ROI within probably about 5 months of kicking the program off. And from there, you know, it basically grew. To the extent that, you know, with the software business having so much success with the program, other areas within Pitney Bowes, you know, all started to hear about this purely because I'm, you know, kind of putting together internal case studies and just communicating to the business how successful this program's been. And as a result, I've got all these other people that, you know, are then kind of putting their hands up to say, well, hang on a minute, I want a piece of the action here. You know, if these guys are having so much success, then you know, we need to look to expand this program, which is what we've done over the past 3 years, and it's now become a global initiative, a global program that encompasses every single line of business within Pitney Bowes.
So it's now embedded in every salesperson's daily workflow?
To a certain extent. What we employ globally, somewhere in the region of, I think it's about 15,000 people. Mm. Now, I'm not going to say that all 15,000 individuals or those that work in the sales or business development capacity are on board with the program. The idea here is, you know, that a certain number of them are going to be using Sales Navigator, but some of the others, they'll be using some of the engagement techniques and best practices.
They'll be aware of it.
Yeah,
for sure.
And hopefully, you know, the goal is in time to come. Yeah, you know, hopefully we'll have every salesperson or individual that works in business development in the program.
Absolutely. And I'm sure you must have come up against some challenges along the way. What were some of these that you did come across, and how did you address them?
I think probably the main challenge, like any kind of project anyway, is to actually get it off the ground. And, you know, it was a case of first and foremost finding an executive sponsor within Pitney Bowes that would help champion the cause. Somebody that believed in social selling and the role that it had to play. And thankfully, there was an individual who we were able to identify, and you know, he really helped to not only get the project off the ground, but actually to accelerate the whole project anyway. So, you know, he was able to portion off some budget to us to bring on board the sales navigator licenses. And, you know, you've got to realise as well that the investment is not just on the licenses, but at the same time, you know, the training means that you're taking a salesperson, let's say, off the phone or, you know, they're not on the road or out visiting customers. So, you know, there's that aspect that obviously you've got to factor in. But
and this internal sponsor, what was that from the marketing side or IT or from sales?
He was a senior exec that basically ran our EMEA operation on the software business and was obviously very, very focused on the sales side of things. So, you know, I would recommend that, you know, anybody that is looking to try and, you know, get a social selling program off the ground, the first thing that you do need to do is to find this individual within your organization, this senior exec, and somebody that believes in social selling and the role that social has to play.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, and if we look at social channels, which ones work best for Pitney Bowes? So you mentioned LinkedIn a few times, so I'm taking that one for granted.
Yeah, you know, LinkedIn is you know, the foremost platform that we're using. You know, I mean, in addition to that, yes, we bring Twitter into the fold. You know, I've had examples before whereby, you know, we'll be looking at a specific individual's LinkedIn profile and, you know, we can see that they've listed their Twitter handle on their LinkedIn profile. So then it's a case of, okay, let's see what they're doing on Twitter as well.
Their spare time.
yeah. But, you know, I mean, I had a great example probably about a year ago of, you know, looking at somebody's LinkedIn profile, and we were about to begin a process of outreach with the goal of trying to set up a meeting with this individual pretty quickly, and the guy in question was located in Las Vegas, and I found that he was on Twitter. He listed his Twitter handle on his LinkedIn profile. When we clicked through, it turned out that he was actually on a family vacation because he'd been posting pictures of him and his son in Berlin, not 24 hours beforehand. So the case was, okay, let's wait, you know, a couple of weeks before we start this outreach process, because obviously at the moment, he's on a family vacation and he's not at work. So LinkedIn first and foremost, followed by Twitter. You know, from time to time, yeah, we might have a look at, you know, things like Facebook or Google+, but not to any big extent.
What about either videos such as YouTube or SlideShare, so online PowerPoints?
So SlideShare, obviously, because of the ties with LinkedIn. YouTube, I mean, you know, let's face facts today, you know, if you want to know the question or the answer to a question, you're going to go on to Google, or, you know, if you want to learn how to do something, you know, then turn to YouTube. You know, and we do find that, you know, video, I don't need to tell you your one, but you know, I mean, it's so powerful, and it's great to be able to, you know, kind of get across information in you know, a very, very short space of time. You know, and especially if you have individuals who on their LinkedIn profiles have content such as SlideShare presentations or videos, you know, uploaded to, you know, to their LinkedIn profile, you know, before you start any kind of process, you know, outreach or look to open up that dialogue, check out whatever the content is that that they've uploaded, and just get a real understanding of the individual in question and the organization that that they work for. I would say, you know, just in addition to sort of LinkedIn and Twitter, one of the other sort of core channels is our employee advocacy program, whereby, you know, when you look at the social selling index, which is the process by which, you know, you can measure how successful an individual is at social selling,
LinkedIn.
One of the core aspects there is around engaging with insights, and you know, that's all about posting relevant content, you know, and liking and sharing content, and with our employee advocacy program, it makes it incredibly easy for all those that are, you know, on board with the social selling program. You know, we've got a platform there whereby we've got content that, you know, has been created by Pitney Bowes. We've got third party content as well, that, you know, we upload to that platform, and those individuals that are part of the advocacy program go on board. They find the relevant content, that they know, you know, is relevant to, the industry sector that they're focused on, et cetera, and then they can obviously schedule that content to post at, you know, the relevant time and time and day, and that really is a core part of the social selling program, and makes things incredibly easy for those members, and you know, that's in essence what you want. You want to make things as easy as possible.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, for those people that have come on board with the program.
Can I ask what's the technology you use for employee advocacy?
We are partnering with an organization called Dynamic Signal.
Okay, yeah, I know them very well. Yeah, and in terms of other technology tools and apps and so on, what would you recommend for social selling? So you've got Dynamic Signal, you've got Twitter, you've got LinkedIn, all the any other apps that you should be using?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've got various sort of tools and technologies anyway, you know, that we're kind of using, which are sort of internally developed.
Right.
I think the core one, which, you know, which I've got to mention, obviously, is the CRM system.
Yeah.
That, you know, that an individual will be working with, because, you know, ultimately, with the social selling program that you're running, you need to record all of the activities, and you're going to need to obviously go back and report back to whoever it may be, to you know, to clearly demonstrate what is the ROI that's being generated out of the program. And the way in which we operate this at Pitney Bowes, we work with Salesforce .com users, so. I have campaign ID tags for different lines of business that are in the social selling program, and any kind of lead or opportunity that that they create when they go and create that instance in Salesforce.com, they will tag that opportunity with the appropriate code that that I've had created, and that way we've got full visibility across the organization, you know, for anybody to go ahead and see, you know, exactly, okay, how much revenue, you know, is the social selling program generating, you know, what does the sales pipeline as a result of the program look like at the moment? Where are we with the different opportunities in, you know, in kind of the stage of, let's call it the stage of development, you know, are we at the early stages, or, you know, is there a date whereby, you know, we could possibly say, yeah, that deal should close by, you know, such and such a date. So, you know, everyone's got full visibility over this, and you know, that's definitely a key factor when it comes to additional apps and technologies to work in.
And Salesforce plugs in nicely to LinkedIn Sales Navigator as well.
Yes,
I believe.
Yeah. Yes. So, as part of the, let's say, onboarding process when setting up and configuring your Sales Navigator license, you have the ability to sync your Sales Navigator license with Salesforce.com. So any contacts or accounts that are assigned in your name in Salesforce.com, that's going to be ported across automatically into Sales Navigator, which makes life incredibly easy for salespeople. Instead of having to go through it manually, you know, and find these individuals and find the companies, it's all done automatically. So,
great. And you touched on this already, but how do you go about measuring success? I'd be interested in knowing how do you know that social has added incremental business as opposed to something that could have probably happened on its own organically? And also, what results have you seen?
I mean, again, you know, this comes back to, obviously, we're recording everything in Salesforce.com, so there's the full visibility there. I think more to the point, what has helped to actually expand the program internally is to report back to the business, you know, on the success stories.
Right.
So, you know, kind of think of it as internal case studies, you know, whereby I will kind of record or work with you know, an individual that works in sales or business development anyway, as to, okay, talk me through the process here. You know, how did you identify this individual? Were there mutual connections? What was the process of outreach? You know, what else did you bring into, you know, into the fold here, you know, to kind of help build a business case maybe, you know, or get your foot in the door at that organization, you know, and kind of really, really just, you know, kind of build out, you know, the entire story, which you can then share internally with other individuals. And as a result, you know, that's worked incredibly well. Secondly, I produce on a monthly basis an internal email that goes out to everyone that's part of the social selling program. It also goes out though to other individuals, you know, that might work in a marketing role, demand generation role, whatever, as well as senior execs. And it covers a variety of different aspects, but one of the key aspects, as well as reporting on, you know, kind of any new business wins, is around the social selling index and the leaderboard.
Yeah.
You know, so we kind of bring that gamification aspect into the equation, and you know, I'll list the I think it's the top 10 individuals within Pitney Bowes and what their social selling index score is. And it's quite amazing because I can send the email out, let's say, on a Monday, and by, you know, sort of the Tuesday, I've had half a dozen people at least that have then, you know, come back to me to say, I can see, you know, the 10 people that that are on that leaderboard and I'm not there. What can you do to help me so that next time around when you produce this newsletter and send it out, I can be up there?
Yeah.
You know, and it's nice to kind of, you know, it kind of took me by surprise, but it's great to see that, you know, individuals are, you know, are so, you know, kind of inspired to want to be, you know, within that top 10. And what I'm about to do as well is to try and sort of incentivize it as well by saying, you know, that the top three individuals every month, they'll receive an Amazon gift certificate, you know, £25 or £50 or something, you know, and it just brings that kind of element of competition, which sales guys love, they thrive anyway. Yeah, they thrive on that, and you know that's absolutely fantastic.
And out of interest, this leaderboard, a social selling leaderboard, does that correlate to the actual sales leaderboard, or do you see any differences there?
I have to admit there are individuals that may not necessarily have a particularly high social selling index score. But do seem to do very, very well in terms of generating leads and opportunities.
Mm.
Having said that, you know, if I look at the leaderboard anyway, those that do have, you know, sort of high scores, you know, sort of 75, 80, they're carving out lots and lots and lots of opportunities, and they seem to be, you know, recording a lot of success as a result of the activities. I think, you know, if they weren't as active on LinkedIn as they are, I don't think they would be as successful as they are, if that makes sense.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay, and what if we look into your crystal ball there, what do you think is the next big thing in this space?
It's a tough question. You know, I'm going to take a real broad approach to this. You know, I think that there could be an element of predictive analytics coming into social selling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whereby you can kind of predict based on previous activities that somebody's carried out what they might be doing going forwards. I'm certain that you know, if we look at social selling, it's mainly, let's say, over the past few years been focused around sort of your large enterprise organizations. I can see it now though, you know, within Pitney Bowes, but more and more small to medium sized businesses, you know, are now having a presence on LinkedIn, as well as, you know, individuals. And I think that the SMB marketplace is going to boom on LinkedIn as well. You know, I think social selling is going to become increasingly visual.
Mm-hmm.
So, like you were touching earlier on with SlideShare and with LinkedIn, I think YouTube. I think you know, the video element and the visual element is going to be, you know, a huge part of social selling going forwards. There's that aspect, and possibly the you know, the convergence really of, you know, lots of different social channels. I did touch upon this earlier on, you know, whereby you look at an individual's LinkedIn profile, and then if they're on Twitter, you go and have a look at that. I think, you know, it's gonna be even wider, you know. So, you know, is the individual, I don't know, on Instagram or Pinterest or, you know, and you'll start to take a much broader view, not just LinkedIn, although I would say probably, you know, most of the engagement and the outreach and, you know, to kind of kickstart that dialogue will take place on LinkedIn. But, you know, I'm sure that, you know, other social platforms will really be begin to play a big part in the overall social selling landscape.
Great. Okay. And finally, what are some of the brands that inspire you on social?
I can't say that, you know, these brands are necessarily, you know, engrossed in social selling.
That's fine. That's fine.
I'm pretty sure they probably are.
Mm.
I think the three brands that do jump out at me, L'Oreal,
yeah.
Who, you know, I see them that they do some really great creative campaigns, especially around LinkedIn. Utilizing some of LinkedIn's APIs.
Yeah.
You know, I've been really, really impressed with what they've done. GE, I would say the second one, who, you know, I mean, GE is an amazing organization anyway. You know, I'm just always interested how they, you know, can make things like, you know, jet engines or, you know, items that may not necessarily, you know, be particularly, let's say, hugely, you know, of interest, you know.
Consumer products, for sure.
Yeah, you know, but how they can take, you know, items like that and just build a social campaign, which just makes it, you know, incredibly captivating. So, you know, I'm very, very impressed with what they do. And I think the other company, I've never used them. I've never flown with them, is KLM, Royal Dutch Airlines, who again, I think are amazing at what they carry out on social media. I saw just last week that they're now using, I think it's Facebook Messenger, yep, whereby you can now access, you know, your booking and through Facebook Messenger, and I think you can get your boarding pass, and you know, I think that they're very, very, very quick to you know, to jump on board the latest technology, and they use social media to showcase that, you know, in incredibly well. So I think, you know, there are probably other organisations, but they're the three that kind of spring to mind.
Yeah, great, thank you. Right, so where can we learn more about yourself there, Paul, and also where can our listeners find out more about the social selling program at Pitney Bowes?
Well, I regularly speak at conferences, I've participated in quite a number of LinkedIn events. I'm about to actually commence working with LinkedIn on creating a case study around the social selling program. So hopefully in a few months' time that will be out there, so everybody can find out a little bit more. You know, I would say that, you know, if anybody does want any more information, then look me up on LinkedIn and you know, send me a personalized connection request or an email, and you know, I'm very happy to connect and share more insight.
Paul Lewis, thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. So I hope you got a lot out of this chat with Paul. I know I definitely learned a lot from him. Very good guy. And of course, everything that Paul talked about will be in the show notes article. Links and everything will be there. So you don't need to go out and Google. And this week's big shout is going out to Lisa Sovenka, who was interviewed on this podcast together with Jason Seiden a few months back. Big thanks to Lisa for listening, reading, and sharing our episodes. So check her out. She works for Brand Amper, and follow her on Twitter at BrandNRD on Twitter. So could that be Brand Nerd, maybe? So BrandNRD on Twitter. So Lisa Sovenka, thank you very much for supporting us. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast in iTunes and other places, and do let me know when you hit the subscribe button. I'd love to thank you in person. That's it for this week. Many thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to catching up with you next week.
Thank you for listening to Social Media Know-How with your host, Jorgen Sundberg of Link Humans. For show notes and more, go to linkhumans.com/podcast and check out the hashtag SM Know-How.